right, I think I'm technically the organizer, and I'm probably not going to, or sorry, the moderator. I'm probably not going to do a horribly great job. But I know, Herla, you need to worry about your paper. Did we want to start with answering a few of your questions on that?
Okay. Did everyone get a chance to look at it?
I have. That's why I probably suggested it.
I glanced through it, but I haven't read through it in too much detail. I was focusing on getting the classifications done.
Yeah, that's what I was working on.
So would you prefer us if we answered most of those questions for you individually over email, or?
Yeah, that could probably work. Or if anyone has idea on text, too, that would be fine. So if you want to just take a look and send me, if you want to just take a look and send that to me via email either today or tomorrow, then I'll continue working on that this weekend. And I think it's Sunday that it's technically due. So I will submit it Sunday, maybe Monday, if that's what it comes to. But I think a lot of it is there. That's actually what I've been focusing my effort on this week. I think a lot of it is there, but there's still some data to summarize and some ideas to flush out. So any comments, any answers to any questions are certainly welcome.
All right. Then I know we want to focus on the classification so we can get this done so we can start working on a system. So since I know a lot of us have been trying to work through them, are there ones that you feel so far have been easy to go through or some that have been more challenging to try to do?
I think there were some students that were challenging at each, I mean, for each of them, not the same student that was challenging for all of them, but there were some students that I had trouble with for with each of our systems.
Okay.
Yeah. I was going to say, I found the pre-structural, unistructural, even though I've had experience with that particular kind of, or at least reviewed it in my lit review, I had trouble trying to actually use it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess with that, I kind of look at it as, I mean, like a statistical model that it will be useful for to a certain extent, and you know, it won't fit everything. It won't be perfect. The old, you know, some models. How does it go? Some models are useful, but all are wrong. Something like that. So, I mean, there. It might. Maybe it'll come down to a matter of picking the model that seems to make the most, I mean, you know, make the most sense for the data, except it's qualitative data in this case.
Well, I think, like, one of the main differences between a couple of the different models and this, I mean, maybe this is just why I was having a little trouble with it, because mine was so specific to the airline data, like specific things that I saw. Like, that's how I actually put it together. And Tara, I know yours is very general. It's very, you know, statistical versus contextual. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Like, yours is very general, very conceptual, and, like, mine is very, you know, they talked about the airline, and they talked about the sample in a positive way, or they talked about the sample in a negative way, so.
I agree with you. I think that I think we were coming from two different perspectives. I was coming at perspective as we needed a general model,
yeah,
and then we could come up with more specifics under it if we needed to. But I thought overall we would need the same structure for each of the questions. That's what I was thinking.
Well, yeah, I was trying to make mine more general, but, yeah, toward the end I started just pulling out stuff that obviously if you look at the – I think I printed my list out. toward the end, I just was pulling stuff out that obviously was just specific to this particular question. I was trying to keep all of our questions in mind, but, you know, multiple airports. I mean, I have a multiple airports category. Obviously, it's not going to apply to every single question.
Well, we hope not anyway.
Yeah, well, you never know. So.
Oh, sweetie, where's that bottle of sugar? Can you guys hang on 1 second? There might be a... Hang on, sorry.
Okay, that's creepy. I have got an email from Amazon that advertises selling back books that I've bought on Amazon. Like, you bought this. Do you want to sell it back?
Hello.
Hi.
I'm back. I'm sorry about that. She has that pink poison ivy lotion. I can't remember what it's called, but she just came in with a bunch of cotton balls covered in it, and I wasn't sure how she'd gotten that all by herself.
Oh, no.
She did not spill any in the kitchen, though, so we're good. I have a feeling I will be interrupted once or twice more, though, until my husband gets back. No, sweetie, not right now. You can play iPad, or you can color. You can't watch Tangled till Daddy gets home. Ask him when he gets back with Julia. Do you want to watch out the window? See them coming? You guys can keep discussing if you need to. I'm sorry about this.
Fine.
So had you said anything else important while I was gone that I need to be caught up on?
No.
No, not at all.
No, that's okay. You can go ahead. What I was going to say before I had the lotion scare was I wasn't able to classify under everyone else's system this week, so I'm sorry about that. The time I was – this was actually my last week of classes, so I had to get my final exam ready for my students this week, and I was planning on working on it today, but couldn't because I had to take Isabel to the doctor. But what I thought when I was reading through everyone's systems, there were things I liked about each of them. I do agree with Tara that we need kind of a general classification system that will work for each context. I like the fact that Jackie tried to give her tears kind of substantive meaning in terms of what we're looking for. In terms of kind of their conception of sampling, that felt kind of Watson-ish, even though we realized her specific levels weren't going to work for us. But the one thing that I kept coming back to is actually in, if you guys have the presentation paper or if you can easily access it, it may also be on Google Docs, I'm not sure, but at one point we put together – there was a little table that said, like, if the data match our hypotheses, this is what we would expect to see. And breaking that down, I think we should reevaluate. Well, let me start by saying I think we should look at that and see if that is still what we are imagining for our ultimate evaluation of these problems, and then build our codes accordingly. So that's why in my codes, I did still have those two variables going through, looking at what did they say that was contextual in nature, what did they say that really pertained to the selection, the sampling method, and that sort of thing.
What document is it in, Harlan?
I know it's in the presentation paper that I sent you. It starts on page 5 and then carries over onto page 6 a little. It might also be on Google Docs, but I don't know where. I was trying to look for it before.
Oh, the expected results?
Yes, exactly. I guess the question is this still valid? Is this still what we would expect to see based on our hypotheses?
I guess when I read through them, I would say primarily I just think probably the biggest thing that's changed for us is our definition of context a little bit more. I mean, just because now we're just saying just because they mentioned something about context, it's not necessarily bad, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't know if there's a better word to use in this place, but I mean, I think...
I agree, and I think when we were deciding, I think before when we kind of had the classification of contextual versus statistical, we had sort of implicitly implied that context was bad, but then as we were thinking about it more, we realized, well, no, some of the really good answers do include contextual factors. And so that's why I started thinking of it more in terms of kind of irrelevant contextual information versus any information that was relevant to the selection, whether it was just random sampling or whether it was identifying a source of bias, which still is contextual, but it's still relevant.
Mm-hmm.
So I tried to build my categories so they would fit in here, and I haven't gone back and looked at them to see if they really would fit in there well, so that might be the next step. Maybe that's something each of us could do then, too, with our own systems, is look and see, can we then map our own codes back into this framework so that we can then ultimately use the codes to answer our research questions.
Part of me worries if we don't pick a system soon, since we have, 3 weeks before we present?
Sure.
Yeah, I agree. Lee, did you have something you were going to say based on one of the systems?
Oh, I actually had a specific question about something on your rubric here, or your coding system. Under the appropriate sample selection, issues with averages, I didn't quite follow what you were getting at here. I mean, there's a couple of responses that had issues with average. Even if we know the average, we do not know the individual values.
Yeah, there were a couple students that said something about, like, well, the average was this amount, but we don't know, like, it may have been much higher on one of the planes or much higher and much lower on one of the other ones. Or they would say some people might be carrying on stuff that's still a lot heavier than this. Like, if the average is at that, some people might be carrying on stuff that was a lot heavier than this. So that was something that, to me, it wasn't really relevant to appropriate sample selection. And it may even, depending on the language, some of them really made it seem more contextual. So some people went on to talk again about, like, well, if the average is at 45, that extra 5 pounds. Then some people said, well, an extra 5 pounds per passenger, like every passenger was carrying on an extra 5 pounds, that could, like, really add up. And so that I kind of took as a little bit more contextual. Because they were saying, well, if you have everybody on a plane bringing in an extra 5 pounds, then that's going to be a problem. So those I took as things that weren't, in general, relevant to selection.
All right.
And in general, one of the things that I think may be a little challenging about my particular coding scheme is the two things are not parallel. They're kind of inverted. So a yes on appropriate selection is good, but a yes on context is bad in some sense, because it means they're bringing in irrelevant things. Because if it's relevant to selection, then it would have gone as a yes under appropriate selection. So the people that were bringing in irrelevant information or were explicitly bringing in beliefs or opinions or something like that, they would have gotten a yes on context. So in that sense, the system, it took me a little bit longer to kind of get into the groove of it to make sure. And, in fact, the first time I did it, I was still having a holdover about the way I was classifying context. And so I had to go back and actually rescore a couple of them. But these ones... I tried to build so that they would be consistent with the rubric. I don't know one of the other systems, because I haven't had a chance to look at one of the other systems very well, in very much detail, may also fit well with the rubric. So maybe what we should do is identify one or two contenders. If someone doesn't have a strong contender right now, maybe we should identify, say, the two best systems and look and see how are they going to fit within this. Because I do agree with Jackie that we have to at some point pick a good coding scheme. I think spending a lot of time on coding is warranted, because it will mean that we'll get better data in the end, but we can't spend an infinite amount of time on it.
By the way, Holly Lynn's here. Hello. Sorry I'm late.
Hi, Holly Lynn.
I had to drive home, and it took me longer than I thought to get here.
So what we're talking about now is we practiced each other's coding systems this past week, and now we're looking at a while ago, I developed kind of a grid that said, you know, if our data matches our hypotheses, these are what we would expect to see. That's included in the SRTL presentation paper that I emailed around earlier, well, yesterday, I guess it was.
Uh-huh.
And so now we're talking about which codes would help us, which codes would kind of fit nicely into this, into our expectations of addressing our research question or addressing our hypotheses.
Sounds like a fruitful conversation. I have not opened your SRTL paper, but I will go find it now.
And the table I'm referring to starts on the bottom of page 5 and then carries over to the top of page 6.
And just for the record, kind of at some point here, we're going to start doing pros and cons probably of each other's schemes, I will not take anything personally.
That is
this
a
is
very
my first
disclaimer.
Attempt at it, so no one's going to hurt my feelings anyway.
Now, this was really a very, very difficult task, I thought. And I probably tried, like, two or three different things that just didn't work out well when I would get into them. And I'm still not sure mine does work out well, so I agree. I will not take anything personally, and I think this was a very challenging assignment. Straight-up numbers are so much easier to work with than words. So, dude, why don't we start doing pros and cons? I actually really like that idea.
All right, I'll say, Hurley, we'll start with yours because I have yours up.
Okay.
And we've been talking about it a little bit. So let me see. For the most part, I can say with yours, I didn't have too many question marks that I had of kind of possibly where to put someone. I know that I sadly had one that doesn't even agree with what you sent on your rubric, possibly.
Okay.
But I think this is going to happen no matter what. I think whenever we each read a question, we might emphasize different parts of their answer.
Mm-hmm.
But the one I'm actually thinking about is actually Rachel Wood, where then you have the no for the appropriate sample selection.
Mm-hmm.
She says it's not large enough, but it's like she says the sample size is only 500 from Florida. And so it's like, is the 500 the important thing or the Florida part the important thing? So the
right.
way that she, you know, the way she wrote it is like, okay, she's kind of saying sample size isn't large enough, but she's also addressing that it's just from Florida.
Right.
So that's kind of one where I was like, I don't know.
Yeah. And that, I think when I classified her as a maybe. And that's why I actually had to go through at some point. Oh, this may not have been, I'm sorry, I don't think I put this in there when I sent it to you guys, because I realized this after the fact. So I eventually realized that what had to happen in order to get a definite no was they couldn't have anything at all that put them either in a maybe or a yes. And so the sample size being large was something, or the sample size not being large enough was something that I put as a no, but if it was accompanied by something else that addressed selection, then I put them as a, in this case, I put her as a maybe. Because I realized that too, is I realized you're still having this problem where even in this classification scheme, they're still giving multiple answers. And so what I did is I just made no a hard, fast exclusion category. So all they would have said is the sample size is not large enough. So actually, I reclassified her. I'm sorry about that. I made that change after the fact. So I disagreed with myself.
Oh, I had one of those myself that I did. It makes you feel better.
Yeah, it's really hard because they say so much, and some of it's along the right track and some of it's not. So, yeah, the no eventually became a they could only have that. If they included anything else that could go in as a yes or a maybe, then they became either a yes or a maybe appropriately. And yes is also kind of a hard, fast category where they, if they got a yes for selection, they were really kind of on. That's kind of implying correctness. So it could have been something that was purely contextual. All they mentioned was bias, but that's reasonable if it really was a biased sample. Or it could have been something where they mentioned explicitly the need for random sampling or something along those lines. And then the maybes are for those ones that are in between where, to me, they addressed selection in some sense but maybe not completely appropriately. So I did eventually reclassify Rachel Wood as a maybe because she does address something about selection, but it's not... She does identify some source of bias, but it's not, it wasn't abundantly clear to me that she really understood the importance of the selection. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And that may make this more subjective or more difficult. I'm not sure.
I mean, I'd say one of my cons so far with yours has been in the addressing the context or presents an opinion, that there's not very many of the maybes, but I think right now that might be question-dependent because we wouldn't expect a lot in the maybe right now.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the maybe might become more evident with the questions that we actually expect them to do that. Where in this one, I wouldn't expect them to because it's, you know, something we think they have a neutral opinion about. But seems reasonable that there's not very many maybes, at least for me right now there, but... Other people's questions are pros and cons for her list.
I was going to, because you said something about this earlier, Herla. I'll get it out yet. So do we still have the problem of making, if they use context, at least with the second question, that it's necessarily implied that it's bad?
In this case, my definition of the context variable is inappropriate. Inclusion of context. So in this case, I am explicitly defining it as bad, but I am allowing for appropriate. That is actually kicked into the other variable. So that other variable isn't just statistical now, it's selection.
So when we would look at, if we were to look at all this data and we were looking at all the contextual responses, that would be sort of negative contextual issues, and related
yes.
contextual issues would be within the sample stuff.
Yes. Exactly, and that's why I said it's still a little bit, it takes you a little while to get into a groove because it's, in some sense, it's very different from the original system we had talked about, but it kind of, on the surface, it feels similar, but then when you're really implementing it, it's actually very different.
I think with the way you wrote it, for me, that's kind of what I wanted, and I think your kind of yes, no, maybe thing there is similar to my what I call the contextual objective and subjective. So I think we were kind of thinking the same thing on that one.
I guess the reason I was asking was, do we want, and I don't have an answer to this question, later on when we look at all the data, do we want to be able to look at when students used related contextual factors separate from when they talked about sample selection? Does that make any sense? Do we want to tease those two things out?
I am not sure about that. Based on the grid about what we were expecting, and I wrote this up a long time ago, but based on that...
Yeah, I was looking at the grid. Students' response focuses on context and not matters of sampling.
Yeah. I think what I did is I changed the way I was looking about it. And in my mind, identifying an appropriate source of bias is a matter of sampling. And so before I had been thinking statistical, contextual, and that was really confusing me. And then when I read this way here, I'm like, well, actually, bias is a matter of sampling, and that's correct thinking, and that's how we would grade it. You know, if we were grading these on our exams. And so I'm not sure we need to tease out contextual matters of sampling from statistical matters of sampling because
yeah.
in a bad sample case, I think the contextual is really all there is, really mainly what there is.
Yeah. Okay. I didn't necessarily have an answer to that question. I just... want to make sure that at the end when we're, we're looking at this
yeah.
grid, want to make sure that we're getting out of our codes what we need to look at.
Yeah.
Okay. That was my only question.
Any other comments on my system?
So, Herla, going back to your question about how this would fit with the kind of hypothesized thinking that you guys had in that table in the SRTL paper.
Mm-hmm.
If do you think this classification system, if let's say somebody is a sample yes, context no, does that help you put them tell you something about them that would be related to that table on page 5?
So as I was going through these, I think sampling yes, a context no would be a really good response. So that would tell me, so for instance, in the first cell, study uses good sampling methods, student has strong opinion with which the study conclusion agrees, I would expect them to be a context yes, sampling no. So that's what I would expect in that cell. In this, if you were to go to the cell just to the right of that, so same row but the second column, actually, no, that would still be the same. So this is what I still need to do is go back and map in exactly how these things would work. And, of course, so the maybes are kind of in between because sometimes the responses are kind of in between. So, again, it's not abundantly clear whether that fits with what I was expecting or not. So I think there would be some gray categories that wouldn't be abundantly clear that they either were in opposition to what I was expecting or that they were in support of what I was suspecting. It would kind of be, well, shades of gray, for lack of a better term.
That's also okay. I mean,
yeah,
everything doesn't have to fit clearly into one of those cells.
The other thing I was concerned about, so as a con of my own system, the other thing I was concerned about is it in no way represents amount. So if a student even had something small, I would still, you know, give it a classification. So if they had something that was small but contextually irrelevant, I would still give them a context yes. So in that sense, we can't really tease out how extreme the
right
students were.
Right.
And I wasn't, and I kind of did that for simplicity because I felt like there were too many things I was trying to capture and it was making my head spin. But I don't know if that will, if that's a dimension we might need later. Should we, for the sake of time, move on to one of the other systems?
Sure.
All right, who's next? Okay, I'll volunteer myself.
Okay.
And since I wrote it, I do not know the pros or cons.
Nice.
To be very honest. Well, I will say, I already said that one of the pros that I thought of the system was I liked the fact that the labels themselves kind of had a substantive meaning in some sense. I liked that. I'm looking over it again to see if I have a con, so if anyone else wants to jump in.
I actually had a suggestion maybe for a category, sort of in, or not, I don't have a good name for it. I'm not good at coming up with those kind of names. But when I was looking at Deb Hill's, some sort of category that says something about not fully fleshed out reasoning. Because we've had several where we've had to sort of infer what kind of reasoning they were using.
Yeah, I felt that when I was kind of reading hers, like, I'm like, I really don't think she belongs there anymore. And...
yeah, and I mean, you know, it's that one line of, you know, people just pack more, pack less in warmer climates or something.
Like almost like people like that on the right track but not fully developed type thing.
Yeah, and there's just not enough on the paper to interpret.
Okay.
It was just an idea. Cause as
I felt that with her because I was like, I really don't think she belongs there. She's because she's kind of getting at it, and so I understand that, but totally.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, I was looking through like the, I think your pseudo samplers matches up. I think we all have like one where it's like. The wild card category, I think I called it statistical garbage.
I liked your name better, actually.
Yeah, that was my favorite, actually. I got inspired with that one, but the rest of them kind of...
I was trying to say it nicely. I'm like, what's a good word for saying fake?
Well, it's just we all have those students that, you know, just have no idea, so they just write down a bunch of things, terms they remember, and just hope that it kind of... something actually applies to the problem, even though they have absolutely no idea. But I think Deb, I mean, you know, Deb actually is saying something that is relevant to the problem, but there's just not enough meat there to really interpret what her reasoning was, at least in our schemes.
Ooh, they should be called vegetarian samplers then.
Vegetarian samplers. Nice. And I think we're going to have a few of those along the way where it's just, we can, you know, we can all infer because we're all their teachers and we know what they were going for, but it's just, it's not there on the paper.
It's almost like those students that, you know, you wish you could ask that follow-up question.
Yeah. Needs follow-up samplers.
Jackie, do you have your classifications in front of you for your students?
Yes.
Can I ask how you classified Brad C? I didn't write his last name.
I put Clement. Him in the contextually correct.
Okay. The only problem I had was some of them I couldn't figure out which category to go to because they could go in contextual, there were some contextual, some objective. Him, I had a C/O. I wasn't sure where to put him.
So my distinction between the contextual and the objective is based upon if they address why it's not valid for the particular problem. So for him, since he kind of was addressing the having to do with the problem, that's why I would put him in the contextual.
Okay.
Okay. Do you have where you put Robbie Hansen?
Oh, I had a question for him, too.
He was one that I have somewhere between contextually correct and contextually incorrect, because he's kind of doing both.
All right.
Because so I'm kind of floating between those two.
Sorry, when you say contextually incorrect, which category are you talking about? I'm assuming contextually correct is contextual samplers.
Sorry, at the very bottom I said that I want to also keep correct and incorrect for my contextual and objective samplers.
Okay, I follow you now.
So I felt like his was definitely contextual, but he was kind of saying some good and some bad. So probably due to the fact that part of it was bad, I'd probably have to put in the incorrect. If I had to put them in one.
Oh, there we go. Okay.
saying, actually, Robbie is the one that I had a hard time with her list. I'm like, I get the yes for the first part, but I'm not really sure for the second one where they should go. I wanted to call him a maybe because he felt like he was in between. So I'm afraid that maybe might be my, like, you know, go-to if I'm not sure.
You gave him a yes for number one on her list?
Yeah.
Well.
For the context?
Wait. Yeah, wait a minute, because these are reversed. So is one context or two samples?
I gave him yes for the sample and question mark for the context.
Well, because isn't Robbie talking about the average?
But does he also address selection? So that's where you have to think, does he do something else? Then no was if he, like if they just mentioned average and left it at that, then that would have gotten a no. But he does talk about the importance of selection here.
They only sampled two popular tourist spots. All right, but yeah, then he goes on about the average. All right, I can see that.
Yeah.
So what was he under for contextual?
That's where I wasn't sure.
Because I gave him a no for context and a maybe for the sample.
I gave him a no for context and a yes for sample. So we kind of partially agree. I suppose that's the other flaw of my system is since we're each checking two things, there's more room for disagreement.
Yeah.
So ultimately, in a system, we need two things. We need a system that we can reasonably agree upon so that we know our data is consistent from rater to rater. We also need a system that can be used to address our research hypotheses, address our research questions, so that we will actually get to address them at the end of the day.
I was just going to suggest, I think that question of which system best aligns with your research questions might be a good one, because if it would be possible to decide on that, then it might be easier to just, you know, go with the system, code independently, and then compare, and you might have more agreement than you think. And, you know, if you get like 80% agreement, that's pretty good. I think that, you know, that definitely is a big thing, picking the system that aligns best with the research questions. And then from there, you know, you can code individually and then compare. And then when the disagreement cases do come up, you can kind of go back and see if they can be resolved. Maybe they can, maybe they can't. But, you know, again, if you get a decent level of agreement, yeah, I think you're in pretty good shape.
So do we want to talk about the systems and with that in mind? How do you think these would fit into the research? How would these address the research questions?
Yeah, and maybe do we need to go back to that chart that you put in the paper and maybe try to revise what we did, depending on how well this first part goes.
That'd be a good idea. May I make a proposal since we are coming up on the last 10 minutes of this call?
Sure.
I think we should address Lee's and Tara's systems to some extent. So let's still do like pros and cons with those. And then maybe we can spend the next, try and do a quick turnaround on this, the next like 2 to 3 days, not including the weekend, reviewing our expectations and talking about those. So maybe we can actually try and do another call, at least with the four of us. If the RAB can't make it, but where we talk about the expectations, talk about the hypotheses.
Yeah.
Those sorts of things.
Well, I guess you can say right now when I've done my classifications, I feel like some of the classifications that we have, and this is going to happen no matter what, I don't think are going to fall into certain categories that we want for the actual hypotheses.
But yeah, I know going through mine. That's not at all what I was I knew as I was doing it that I was just, I wasn't even worried about that. I figured I would do that later. I know that.
Like I said, that's where I know that I think of. That I thought of my three main categories I automatically thought of were the contextual ones, the objective ones, and the subjective ones. Everything else, I'm kind of like, it's nice to know, but I don't really think they'll be that useful in answering the actual question.
Yeah.
I mean, where you put a confused person, you know, I mean, you probably shouldn't be including them because you don't really know where to put them.
That's a good point. But I like my statistical garbage question.
I mean, like, but it's still nice to be able to kind of like, how many we have fall in these categories than we thought. It was a straightforward question. So, I mean, I think those can help us, you know, possibly change our research questions if we're finding. I have no idea what this person is talking about.
Study when the conclusions agree with their opinion about the context presented. Less difficult to assess inequality of this.
I guess you could think I thought of my contextual samplers and my objective samplers as being good and okay. Because, I mean, the objective is still not really addressing the problem at hand so much, but they're not doing the bad context. Between my subjective people are doing the bad context.
Yeah. That students will have more difficulty assessing the quality of sampling methods in a study for which the conclusions agree with their opinion about the context presented. Sorry, I'm just reading some things to myself. I'm sorry. I should probably stop that.
Okay. Should we look at Lee's categories for a minute?
Oh, sure. But, I mean, I can tell you right now, this is much too specific. I mean, at least that's kind of my second go around at it, or second look at it. I think there are pieces that correspond with some of the stuff that you guys did, but I think you guys synthesized yours a little bit better than I did.
It's not bad that you've kind of, in a sense, listed out all the things that we kind of see, you know, multiple times. Because then if, you know, one of the other systems, too, can't answer one of your questions, we got to worry about it, too. So, yeah, I'll agree that I think yours maybe is a little too specific to the question at hand, but it doesn't mean it can't be generalized.
Yeah, I took a – did anybody ever do a qualitative research class?
Yes.
You did?
Negative.
Yeah, I haven't either.
It was the most frustrating experience of my life. But that was, I mean, I was trying to do what they basically explained, that we were, like, basically trying to get the categories to sort of come up out of the data. I apparently was, and I just hadn't gotten very far with it, and that was, the idea was that you went through the data multiple times and pulled out things that you saw over and over and over again, and then tried to get the categories to come up out of that. I think I only got through the first step. I don't know, Tara, if you had the same sort of understanding of what you're supposed to do there, but...
That's similar.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. So sort of, you know, bottom up, not top down. So that was why this looks the way it does. I don't think my qualitative professor liked me very much either.
I think that, I mean, and I'm sure Randy agrees with this because he's done a lot of this kind of coding as well. Qualitative research is very frustrating. And, you know, I mean, there's this balance between wanting, and you know, depending on your research question and the technique that you're using, you know, letting categories emerge from the data. And
yeah, there's the word I was looking for, emerge from the data.
And then finding, you know, kind of getting to a saturation point of you, where you feel like you're capturing it all, and then recategorizing. So, I mean, you know, the list, even though you think that the list that you created was too specific, if you step back and looked at it, there might be ways to kind of regroup things into, you know, larger categories. But yeah, this is not an easy process. I like the fact that you guys are struggling with it, even though you don't like it.
Well, that's better than trying to, you know, fit the square peg into a round hole kind of idea.
Right.
Well, if nothing else, if we go back to the expected results and we're trying to parse out what we're trying to do, at least this, you know, gives us a list of some of the things that came out multiple times, and as we try to write detailed descriptions of the categories we do end up coming up with, this would be some of the things that we probably want to identify in some of the categories. Does that make any sense?
Yeah.
Apparently not. Never mind.
I gave a vague yeah. She's feeling better.
I think kind of what Holly Lynn was trying to say is as this gets recategorized, some of this could be used in the recategorization. All right, never mind. Yeah. Do we want to take a look at Tara's?
Yes.
Are we done with mine?
I think so.
Okay.
I am glad that someone tried solo. Thank you, Tara, taking that on. I know you said in your email, though, that it was very difficult, but I'm glad that someone tried kind of a common rubric so that if it comes up, hey, did you do this? We can say, yes, we did.
Yeah, we did. But it's not.
I know, I looked at it, too, and I was like, I'm not really sure how to do this for this.
I looked at it, and then I slept on it, and then I came up with some ideas, and then I slept on it again. I'm like, maybe my brain will work on it when I'm sleeping, because my awake brain wasn't doing so good. But I had a hard time taking this and relating it back to our research questions. And I tried to do it while I was typing, you know, when I was typing it up, but I had a really hard time taking these categories and putting them back. And I wasn't looking at the table that we're looking at now, just thinking of the research questions in general. I had difficulty. But part of it could have been I'm not that familiar with solo, and I don't know that I really captured the essence of it. I now have a book on solo, so perhaps had I read the book first, I would have done a clearer demo. Now, Lee, you said you had a hard time mapping these, right?
Yeah, I think maybe because I was coming from the exact other end of the spectrum, that was a little hard for me to jump up to something that was a little bit more I mean, some of them were okay. I just
And I will be honest, I hadn't had a chance to try Tara's. Yours was last on my list because it intimidated me.
Well, there was that factor too, yeah.
I think for the bad sampling ones, that this, I didn't have any problem going through it because I did it, but for the good samples, I had problems between the multi-structural and the relational. I don't think I clearly defined the difference between them. Does the thing I liked about the solo was that it didn't focus on, you didn't have to choose, well, we have more of this versus this.
Yeah, it takes a more holistic approach to it.
Yeah, that was one thing I did like about it. But I don't know. Holly Lynn, you have experience with this one, don't you?
Yeah, and Randy, so do you.
Yeah, I was taking a look through the unistructural, I mean the pre-structural. It's a little bit hard to, because I don't have the student responses. I have your categorization system here, but I mean it seems like it's kind of on the right track, because with pre-structural that just kind of misses the point of the task, and then unistructurally mentioned one relevant aspect, one thing that's relevant to responding to the task. And then multi-structural, you know, you might have several things mentioned but not really tied together. And then at the relational level, you know, the reasons fit together and form a coherent response to the task. So I'm not sure, like I said, without seeing the student responses, it kind of looks like that's what you were doing, but not sure if that lines up with what you were thinking. The other thing with this one, too, is that it's usually laid out in five levels like this, but there are some articles where they talk about unistructural, multistructural, relational cycles, and you can have several cycles within a set of responses to a task. So I don't know if that is that helpful or not. Like I said, I'm kind of without seeing the responses, I'm not quite sure, but.
I think where I have the biggest problem was for the studies that we have that have good sampling, how to determine between something that was multistructural where they listed all the reasons that it could be good and when to take that and put it up to relational.
Yeah, I think, well, what did someone, was that, forget if it was, it was in one of the classification schemes, someone said something about like a brain dump of just a bunch of facts being put out on the table, and mm-hmm. some are relevant, some maybe aren't relevant. To me, that sounds very much like a multi-structural sort of response where they bring up facts that might be relevant to it, but they don't really talk about the relationship between them. They might even have some extraneous stuff in there that you know, it may be true, but doesn't relate to answering the task.
Oh, well, that puts a new spin on things.
Yeah, because the way that they write about it is the difference between unistructural and multistructural is a quantitative one. It's the number of aspects. And then the difference from multistructural to relational is really a qualitative one, tying the aspects together.
Okay.
There is a book by, I think it's John Biggs from 1999, gives a kind of a nice concise summary of the model in that way.
I think that's the, I don't know, I have the book that was referenced on the website Holly Lynn pointed us to, but I just got it yesterday, so it wasn't a whole lot of help.
Yeah, they have lots of chapters and articles where they've described it.
And I think that, as somebody mentioned earlier, that one of the, once you kind of get a handle on the levels, it does allow for more kind of a holistic thing. And one of the things why I was initially suggesting that it might be a viable way to go is that there are, you know, two primary aspects that you're considering, what they consider about sample and what they consider about context. And so there are multiple things you're looking for in their responses.
And it seems to me that the relational level might involve integrating, you know, those aspects of sampling and context.
In appropriate ways.
Right.
I think that's what I outlined for the bad ones. I just didn't outline that for the good ones. So I guess looking at the page in the SRTL paper, a relational response would go under Well, I guess I don't know where it would go.
I think actually a relational response would be counter to our hypotheses, unless it's in the category where
they're neutral, right?
Where it says the student has a strong opinion that disagrees, either maybe the neutral opinions, we might get good relational answers out of them, or there's one category where the student has a strong opinion with which the study disagrees, and the study uses poor sampling, then they would be calling into question the study methods, but that would actually be, hopefully they'd be able to do it appropriately in that case, so that might be a relational answer. Yeah.
Yeah, I would...
Guys, I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to go and relieve my husband because he hasn't gotten much work done all day. So I'm just going to hop off. I am more or less, my classes end this week, so I am more or less free next week. If you guys want to try and set, if you guys want to try and set a time sometime next week when we could meet and discuss, talk a little bit more about is this table still what we want to capture, and then how do the systems meet that? You can decide what works best for you and then just email me and let me know what you decided. Is that okay?
Okay.
Thank you.
And we need to get back to you on the paper.
Yeah, you have
several
questions in that.
Yeah. If you could take a look at the questions and let me know and make sure I have all your data so I can summarize that. And I think I just agreed to house the data in general. So I'll just make sure that's all getting organized and start putting it into a big file. That too. All right. I am going to go take care of a child and hope I don't come down with poison ivy. I wish you all good luck with the rest of your afternoon and evening. And I will be in touch with you all soon via email.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
All right. I also need to head out now.
Okay.
So, but yeah, if anything else, just feel free to send by email if you, because the solo thing, I can, if you do end up going with that one, I can send a few references on that as well. It might be helpful.
Okay.
Bye.
Okay. Well, on that note, would it be smart for us to go ahead and set assignment and time?
Yeah.
Okay. So we know our assignment at least is to get HRLA emails and stuff about that SRTL paper.
Yeah. Yeah, there's several questions throughout it, so STRL paper.
Which means that by tomorrow.
No.
Okay. Because your paper is due Sunday.
Okay.
And then we would like to look at how our categories fit into the hypotheses, right?
Yeah, go back and look at the expected results and, one, kind of figure out if that's still where we're going, if that's what we think we want to look at, and then how well do our codes match up with that? Or can we try to... At least that's how I understood it. Yes? No?
Would it be smart, and this is just a question, so would it be smart for us each to do that for two of them? Like each of us do it for someone else's as well?
Try to rework someone else's codes?
Not to rework their codes, but see if you can figure out how they would fit in.
Mm. That's a good idea.
Because
okay.
When you write it yourself, it's easier possibly to see it, so you can see if someone else would agree with us.
Yeah.
So that's assuming that we didn't want to make changes prior to it. If you make any changes, that would have to be done quick. That'd be the whole problem with that.
Yeah.
I mean, were you two planning on changing your methods at all, or did you just want to leave him?
Well, based on what Randy just said, I could probably change my multi-structural a bit and update my relational category. when I'm going to do it. Don't know. I have to type an exam that I have to give at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning.
Yeah, that's the problem. This is the last week of classes for us, too. Finals are next week, so I am unfortunately swamped. So I don't know that I can, and mine needs serious reworking.
But how about this? I will be willing, I'm going to take a look at Herla's, too.
Okay.
That way, at least another set of eyes, and hers doesn't look like it needs much reworking. So I can do that and look at hers. At least just to see, and I'll try to ask her to look at mine, possibly.
Okay.
And then what are we looking at for a call next week of when we might be available, for, even if it's only half an hour?
Do we just want to go with the 4 o'clock Thursday time slot?
That is still free for me.
Okay, there. I said that, and then there's a really, really small chance that I might have a problem with that, but I'm really hoping not. So, and I'll know next week.
Do you want to try Thursday at 4?
Yeah.
And who's our organizer next?
I think actually that's her. No, wait. I was notes this time. Oh, that's me.
Okay.
Okay.
I was making sure that person knew.
Okay, I am the organizer. All right, I am on it. All right, and I'll get Justin to get this call off the thing.
Does that make me moderator?
Yes.
Yeah, Herla will be notes.
I'm synthesizer.
Jackie's synthesizer, then Tara's moderator. All right. We good?
I think so.
You guys are making good progress.
And say, if you two do any revamping of your codes, if you want to try to send those out before the call so we can look at them.
Yeah.
When you do have time.
Well, I suppose while I'm sitting giving finals, I can...
And then I will try to include my vegetarian samplers or whatever new name I come up with. So I kind of like that name personally, but...
Yeah, they might look at us strange. When the reviewers start looking at our codes, they might look at us a little strange.
You can name codes like that after you get tenure.
No. Lack of substance.
Don't you already have tenure, Jackie?
No. No, this is just my third year, so I got three more before I have it. Hopefully,
6 years?
Knock on wood. Okay. We go up during our sixth year. So any of you that would like to write me strong letters of recommendation to include in my portfolio.
I got tenure this year, so I can start looking for a new job after next year.
There you go.
That's how I'm looking at it. Like, I stayed long enough to get tenure. It would look bad if I left before I got it. So now I can start looking for something new after next year. That's not the right way to look at it, but that's how I'm looking at it.
All right.
All righty. So next Thursday, 4 p.m., Perla's technically synthesizer. So she should have only sent out an email, but I will send out an email.
Yeah, she seems like she's a little...
what's going on, so...
Okay. Yeah, because she didn't get this last part of it, so...
So I can do that.
Okay.
All right, otherwise I will talk to you all next Thursday at the latest.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Sounds good.
Bye, ladies.
Bye.
Thank you. Please stand by.